Kyle Mullen is the editor of the Murs newsletter, and he's on the other end of our line. Kyle, how are you?
Great. How are you doing, Tony?
I'm doing very well. I look in the Wall Street Journal, front page, USA Today, inside the paper, Detroit News, Detroit Free Press, Lansing State Journal. There's Mitt Romney with bakery owner Linda Hunt when Romney was in DeWitt yesterday. It was quite a photo op for him, wasn't it?
Yeah, it sure is. I mean, you got the backdrop, Sweetalicious, right behind you. I mean, gosh, it looks just like downtown Main Street, apple pie, Americana. I mean, it's just a beautiful sight to, even if you're not really saying anything new, you know, it's just a great photo opportunity. You get the front page of the papers. And, it's all about, getting your name out there and seeing the real folks. And that's what Mitt Romney's at right now with his campaign.
The governor has signed into legislation protective measures against synthetic marijuana. Tell us about it.
Yeah, the K2 situation has really gotten really serious with youths in the last year or two. It's a synthetic marijuana. And what they've been able to do, the people who manufacture it advertise it as like bath salts, and it's not for consumption, but it's, you know, it's the dirty little secret that, well, you know, it's kind of legal marijuana and gives you a high. But the problem is that kids have been getting sick and dying from it. And so lawmakers have acted very quickly on this, and it's become a real quick issue, very non-controversial. Both parties were on board. You know, the problem in crafting this legislation, Tony, is that when you put like a certain compound in the state law, I mean, these compounds are huge. I mean, they got this weird polypicna, you know, it's really long. I mean, and so you put that in the state law. Well, then the manufacturers then go ahead and just kind of change it just a little bit and then remark it, and now it's legal again. And so, you know, it's this little game of cat and mouse. And so the problem in crafting this bill was to try and do a formula or write the law in such a way that it would include everything. So you wouldn't have to go back to the drawing board every time a new formula was developed. And so you just kind of crack down on this once and for all, so we don't have kids going to the emergency room from inhaling this stuff.
Well, there is a group that is trying to legalize pot on the ballot. How is that issue working?
Well, it's not, and that's kind of the problem. I mean, we called one of the organizers yesterday. They only got 40,000 signatures, and when you need 300,000 signatures by July 9, and you've been collecting since January, you're probably not going to make the ballot. So that's not going to happen. And there's really one main reason for it, and it's they didn't get the backing, the financial backing of a D.C. Marijuana group or anybody else for that matter who could have paid for circulators. And, you know, back in 2008 when we had medical marijuana on the ballot, they had that. I mean, you had kind of the sugar daddy behind the scenes who was paying Byron Fisk and, you know, professionals to go out there and get the signatures and run a campaign. I mean, these are just volunteers, you know, who are doing the best that they can. But, you know, if you're going to try and get something on the ballot, unless you're extremely organized, like organized labor, the MEA, UAW, something like that, I mean, you really need to have some cash behind you to get out there and get the circulators, get the signatures. They just didn't have that, Tony. So we will not have a question on the ballot this year about legalizing pot in the state of Michigan.
Where does Governor Snyder stand on a November 6th ballot initiative that would make all tax increases get to two-thirds legislative support before they went into action?
Well, he's going to be it sounds like he's a no on that. Well, we asked him that question yesterday. And that's one of those ballot proposals that really have flown under the radar because you just haven't heard about it. It's the Americans for Prosperity's proposal that would limit tax increases to a two-thirds majority in the legislature. And he thinks the current system works just fine. I mean, we don't need two-thirds increase for anything else. You know, what if you're going to spend money for an appropriations bill? Should you have a two-thirds vote for that, too? But the answer is no. I mean, simple majority rules. You don't go to the ballot box and approve a bond proposal by two-thirds. It's a simple majority. And I think it's the same kind of concept. You know, Snyder has really been bagging all of the ballot proposals so far. He's not in support of the collective bargaining guarantee. He's not in support of, I mean, he hasn't come out formally against the 25 by 25, that alternative energy ballot proposal. But he's bagged that concept. He has not had nice things to say about expanding casinos. He's kind of been a no all the way around, except keeping PA4. I'm sure he's going to be a yes on that one.
What about abortion? Where does he stand there?
Well, he's taking that football and giving it a nice punt right now on the abortion thing. He doesn't want to get in the middle of that at all. But, I read a Tim Skubick thing on MLive yesterday, and he said in there that from what he's hearing, Snyder sent the unspoken no on getting that bill package that would ban abortion at 20 weeks. Just doesn't want that on his desk. And so they've held off on it for now. They just passed a different abortion bill. But, that's not part of the economic agenda that he ran on, and I give him props for not doing the right to life's bidding on that one.
Where do we stand with the retirement package for teachers?
Well, that's in the Senate right now, and they decided not to take a vote on it before they left for the
a wise thing to do when an election's coming up.
Well, see, they're not up for election, though. I think they were just kind of more sending a message than they were anything else, because they ended up having to, in the negotiations on that, they had to kind of take it a little bit on that one, because the Senate wanted to do a big study, or they wanted to close the pension system for teachers, as opposed, we got this hybrid system now we've had in place for a couple years now, and they just want to close the pension system altogether. And the governor's office and the House have said they didn't want to do that because it was, the upfront costs were going to be too much. So the Senate finally agreed to a study, and I said, okay, well, we'll go ahead and study it. We'll have an independent party come in and tell us if it's going to be all this money that you're talking about. So they had to give a bit, and so I think just kind of as a face-saving maneuver, they decide, well, we'll just wait until July when we come back for one day, and we'll pass it at that point. So that's what's going to happen there, Tony. It's going to pass, and I think it's going to happen on that July 18 session when they come back for a day.
Well, we know that the Senate's not up for election, but Republicans. Well, Kyle, we'll get back with you. You're listening to 1320 WILF. And we kept Kyle Malin from the MERS newsletter for just a couple more quick questions. Thanks for your time, Kyle.
Oh, yeah, of course, Tony.
You were wrapping up. We were talking about the legislation in regards to the retirement benefits for teachers and how that would be taken up back up in July.
Yeah, it will be. The Senate's probably going to take that up in July, and they're going to just go ahead and concur. It's part of the budget. So, the pre-funding of health care and starting to stabilize that, the health care benefits that school employees and teachers receive, currently that's not funded at all, and this package would start to address those issues. So it's a system of, so it's not a system of cards that could completely fall over and collapse someday. That's going to be taken up probably in July, and it'll get signed by the governor. So these changes to that teacher retirement will happen.
All right, Kyle, the story regarding the censorship or the vasectomy vagina story, as it's been called, that's all over and done with. I know Speaker Bolger doesn't want to talk about that anymore. I was wondering, will that have a lingering effect come voting time in November?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, our attention span is so small that, voting is so long ago. I think what it does do, though, is that it helps Lisa Brown with her race for Oakland County Clerk, in the sense that she's been able to raise a lot of money off this thing. And I would say the same about Barb Byram, but she's going to win her race. She doesn't have to necessarily worry about that. She doesn't have a primary opponent. And this is a Democratic county, so unless she completely blows up, she'll be the next county clerk. But I mean, this is a big deal for Oakland County and Lisa Brown, because this is a competitive race with her against the incumbent Bill Bullard, and this has risen her spotlight pretty significantly. Outside of that, though, I'm not sure that has much impact for the voters, other than just it kind of reinforces, I think, in the mind of women that Republicans are somewhat callous on the issue, and if abortion is big for them, I think it just reinforces their desire to vote Democratic.
And any feedback on the governor's plans to get that bridge built from Detroit to Windsor?
You know, what I thought was really interesting on Friday, you know, I thought I was going to get a lot of mail from opponents of the bridge. And I thought that folks would, you know, politicians, legislators would be writing press releases, just churning them out like butter there and just, you know, just slam it left and right. But I didn't see that at all. You know, obviously the legislature doesn't like to feel like they've been gone around, but I guess I'm just not seeing the outrage that I expected. You know, the legislature never wanted to take it up, and so they never did take it up. And if the governor wants to go around and do it on their own, then, you know, that's just, I guess, what he's going to do. And that just kind of seems to be the mentality. I mean, even Jace Bolger, who didn't want to vote on it in the House, has been somewhat tempered in his responses. Just not all that excited about it, you know. I guess they only get excited about it when it's on their plate. And otherwise, you know, the only people upset about it are the Ambassador Bridge folks, who are willing to spend a ton of money to put a proposal on the ballot to stop this thing. But even that, there's questions whether even if this ballot proposal gets passed, whether it will stop this train, since it's already been, you know, it's left the station. It's rolling down the tracks.
All right, Kyle, two more quick questions for you. Number one, who are the leaders in the open state house races for state representative in the Mid-Michigan area?
Well, I just wrote a column for City Pulse that's on the stands right now, just came out today. And I talked about the UAW Cap Council making its endorsements for the Democratic primary. And this is huge, not only because of the money that comes with it, or the organizational power, though, and the ability to tap into members of the UAW and other sections of organized labor is very significant. So Tom Cochran in the 67th, he's the former Lansing fire chief, he got the nod there, and that's a big boost for his campaign. And then in the 69th, Sam Singh got the endorsement, and he's running against Susan Schmidt, and that's a very competitive race as well, and that's a big pickup for Sam. In the 68th, they decided to take a pass on that one, Tony. I think that Andy Shore is the front runner, and organized labor, you know, when they took a look at the field of candidates, they had a lot of different people that have been friends of organized labor. And since Andy Shore's most recent job was with the MML, Michigan Municipal League, he has not been able to be behind labor on every single issue all the time, just because of the nature of his job. And I think that made some folks in labor a little leery. And so since they didn't feel comfortable endorsing the front runner, they didn't want to get out in front of anybody else, because all the other candidates in that race are pro-labor, whether it's Aylin Robinson or Griffin Rivers or Dale Kopich or whoever it may be, Ted O'Dell. So they decided to take a pass on no endorsement in the 68th.
All right. And Kyle, any other significant legislation that will be discussed and perhaps decided upon this summer?
Have you been following the Detroit lighting situation? Is that anything that you guys care about?
Well, a little bit. We always wonder and follow what's going on in Detroit, especially if it involves tax dollars.
Well, you know, and the reason why I find it interesting is that 60% of the lights in Detroit don't work. The streetlights. I mean, isn't that amazing? I mean, just to think about. I mean, you know, you wonder why crime is such a problem there. It's, you know, part of the reason is 60% of the lights don't work. And the city of Detroit runs their own lighting system. Unlike here in Lansing, where the Board of Water and Light actually was just down my street here 10 minutes ago checking on our streetlights. And so what the legislation is that they create a new authority for cities like Detroit and others that have municipal-run street lighting systems. They would have an authority to go and take over the street lighting system, be able to float their own bonds outside of the city of Detroit's junk bond rating status, and actually fix these street lights so neighborhoods in Detroit can be safe. Which sounds like a great idea and a great concept. Well, the problem is that in the Senate, before they broke last week, decided to fiddle around with what the board would look like and gave the governor an appointee and gave the legislature appointees, and that just sent the Detroit Reds into outer space. They were so beside themselves that they completely shut down the discussions over this issue. The governor, Rich Snyder, really does want this bill. I mean, he sees this as a net positive. He wants to see Detroit get back on track, and getting the streetlights is just a huge step. Getting the streetlights fixed is such a huge step in getting that done. And so he's got to put out that fire and get people settled down and pass this bill that would create a new street lighting authority for the city of Detroit and get them on the path toward safer streets.
All right. Kyle Malin is the editor of the MERS newsletter. Just go to MERSnews.com. Thanks so much, Kyle.
Hey, it's my pleasure, Tony.